Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
I wanna dive into the TEDx talk. How was that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, it was absolutely incredible because it was done in Modena. Modena is known as a home of Ferraris and Maseratis. So my TED talk was for 800 employees who work in Ferrari Maserati factories.
Wow.
A lot of men.
Yeah.
And also our ambassador in Ukraine is a famous soccer player.
Okay.
From Milan, soccer team. Now he's a coach, but he's very known in Italy. So his nickname there is Sheva. So when I drop his name in Italy, and he's really like known there as an ambassador of White Ribbon, a lot of men were, oh my God, if he's supporting, you know, I will support as well.
Yeah.
So it was really great experience. I mean, talking in front of 800, mostly men who work in Ferrari Maserati factories, and everybody were so supportive. And so I just dived in roots and origin of White Ribbon and why male support is so important.
I love that. I mean, TEDx, speaking at TEDx is no joke, you know, and I do think women, supporting women is instrumental, especially as we become mothers. I think there's this, you know, and I've noticed this too. I feel like the younger generation of women, before they all become mothers, they tend to be in this competitive mode where they think they're always competing. But then once they become mothers, there's this humility that comes with motherhood, where you're just like, if you see another woman or mother doing something or suffering in something, your heart just breaks, because all of a sudden you're not looking at that person like a competition. You're looking at her like a mother, and you know what it takes to be a mother. And for anyone to take your child away is just unbearable. And so speaking of mentors, you know, most of my life, I want to say up until in my mid-30s, my mentors were all men. But then it was mid-30s where I was like, and I became a mother, and I realized that men don't really understand me. I need women mentors. I need to be around other women to help me go higher in places, you know. But men just don't get it. You tell them that you have to, you know, you didn't sleep last night because your baby was not sleeping. Like, they just don't comprehend. They don't understand. And they're like, well, why don't you just get a nanny and take care of what you need to take care of? You know, this is business. I'm like, I understand, but I can't do that all the time. Like, my baby needs me, and I don't want my baby to feel like I've abandoned her. And so it wasn't until later in my life that I realized that I need females around me. And then the last few years, I've taken the step to reach out to women, to help women become entrepreneurs, to help starting from teenage lives to all the way, whatever age they are, mentor them and support them and inspire them to become entrepreneurs. And one of the things that I came, I was working at New York Times, and this is before I was on my own. I was the director of the execution team for the influencer marketing department. And one day I realized that, you know, the 3 hours that I'm spending driving to our headquarters in Santa Monica is time away from the kids. And I just one day just said, I'm done. What's the point of doing all this? Yes, I'm making a lot of money, but what is the point if I can't be a mother to my kids? I can't be there and whatever. And so I decided to resign. And I had an epiphany that when I figure out how to make money on my own terms, I'm going to make that a mission to help other women do the same. And so part of this radio show, the podcast show, is my way of not just inspiring women, but also giving them the ability to connect with the women that I bring on to the interviews, as well as myself, make myself available for them to come and lean on and see how we did it, and for them to take the same similar action steps to figure out how to make money on their own terms, so that they don't have to deal with abuse, so that they don't have to deal with not just, you know, abuse from a husband or a boyfriend, but there's a lot of abuse in workplaces. whether it's mental abuse. It doesn't have to be physical abuse. It's mental abuse, you know, and there's just so much discrimination against women still out there in the corporate world. And so it's inspiring for me to have someone like you, Veronica, to come here and to immigrate to the States and start this whole journey from 2016. And in less than 6 years, you've accomplished so much. And that should give all these other women who were born here the ability, the positive mindset that they can do it too, if they want to help others or just whatever it is, even if it's not a nonprofit, if it's something that they want to just do on their own, just go do it. Stop talking about it, you know?
Absolutely. And this zero tolerance is very important, but it's based for sure, I think, on financial independence.
Yeah.
So, and vice versa, when there is a dependency, financial dependency, it's very difficult for women, especially with kids, to leave. But also there is a emotional dependency and attachment to abuser. So I myself also had this experience when I was tolerating way too much that I had to, by trying to help to a person who actually doesn't need help, or trying to help to someone who has no sense of respect to women, technically. And this sacrifice that we as mothers, as women, we kind of naturally have, it's not what a woman is meant to be.
Right.
To sacrifice her comfort, to sacrifice her peace, it's not going to work for the sake of a woman and her children. Mm-hmm. So this non-tolerance is very important. And also, I want to speak a little bit about the actual projects that our very current projects that we've been doing. And one is the short film. One is the hate convention legislation reform in the US.
Right. Good.
Really, finally, because that's actually, I felt that this is my mission.
Yeah.
Because number one, people mostly, they don't know about hate convention at all.
Never heard of it myself.
Me either. until the moment I was served in the most brutal way.
Oh.
One morning on a Halloween day, when I dropped my child to preschool, I came back home. Somebody knocked my door. I opened the door. I had like 6 police officers standing there throwing me a bunch of papers in my hands. I didn't know I was served. And I'm like, what is this? And they go, oh, your ex-boyfriend, ex-husband, he came to the US and claimed that you stole his child. And this is the hate convention. And 6 police officers. And they were asking, where is your child? And I'm like, why I'm treated this way? I'm legally present here. We are under asylum. And they said, you have to go to the court right now. Oh. Escorted. So I was escorted by 2 police cars from Palazzo West in Los Angeles. We were living that time. I was escorted first to the preschool, and they escorted me and 3-year-old baby to the court as we were criminals.
Oh my God.
And I didn't understand what is hate convention. So I started to Google. And when I was in the court, it was so surreal. When I had no time to prepare for the court hearing, I never received any information about this before. I was given an extension of 7 days, meaning 5 business days, to find a lawyer and prepare defense. And the lawyers in this category, the price range, right, is between like 30 to 60,000.
Oh my goodness.
Per, you know, one hearing.
Oh my goodness.
And
it's international law. This isn't just, it's international law. And
it's international family law. It's very difficult to find an attorney. It's very difficult to pay for attorney for an immigrant. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be able to afford a lawyer, but it's not 99% of the cases women give up at this moment. They just understand, okay, you know what? I don't know what to do. The Hague Convention is not reformed. I don't have a lawyer. I don't have a free legal aid. I'm done. My kid is gone. So I was, why I speak about the short film, because I was looking at all this and thinking, I wish I was filming everything happening.
Oh my God.
I couldn't believe that I'm in LA and I'm treated as a criminal and my kid is taken away and government cannot do anything because there is some hate convention that was adopted in the Netherlands 40 years ago when domestic violence was not considered as a grave risk. So they did not include domestic violence as an exception
to their role.
So basically I was like, I should film all this probably. People should know, people in Congress should know what's happening because it's very narrow niche of international family law. Yeah. So we shot finally last year, a short film called Reunited. And it's about the Hague Convention cases. Because Berkeley University analyzed 450 cases like mine. And in 99% of cases, children were gone to abusers. And sometimes 11 months old babies were sent back to abusers with addictions issues.
Oh God, that's just
to fathers who are going from one rehab to another and who are domestic violence abusers. And children that in that age, 11 months old, had to be returned back to them because they're biological fathers, because the domestic violence aspect is not included.
Wow. How can the listeners support you? Just remind them what we can do to support you. How can we help you?
Just go online to our website, whiteribbonusa.org. Take a pledge. Mm-hmm. Spread awareness through social media.
Yeah.
For the moment, we are doing every April and every October, we're doing joint campaign with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs called White Ribbon VA, supported already by in all major states in the U.S. on federal level, supported by the Secretary of the U.S. Department of VA. So there is an official White Ribbon VA pledge, and those who are related to veterans or military communities can support also this campaign. But on a personal level, you can take a pledge and become a part of campaign or run your own local White Ribbon campaign based on your company, based on your town or city, based on your region. It's really very flexible.
Yeah, I love that. I had no idea that that's possible. Thank you for mentioning that. What other projects are you working on? Anything else?
So the annual White Ribbon V campaign is very important because it's a collaboration with government, and that can really help us to promote more legislation reform and also promote White Ribbon on federal level. And we are very grateful for the U.S. government for supporting us. The short film is very important. So this is something that we're gonna release this year.
Nice.
And we would really like to find our ambassador, our representative in Congress who will be willing to present an amendment about domestic violence for Hague Convention proceedings. It's super important. And we also opened the White Ribbon New York, our branch, official branch office. And we're working now with the owner of hotel. It's actually like two three stars hotel, to turn it into a shelter.
Oh, nice.
So I think this is our big next step to actually like have our own shelters. because we're not a volunteer-based organization. We're awareness and education, educational-based organization, but we want for New York to try to help our first shelter.
Yeah.
And the big, big project is to establish a white ribbon application for the US.
Yeah, that's huge. And I love that, you know, if you are able to do that, I feel like it's so easy and people can do it or not. And like almost, I think the idea of going somewhere and having to explain that you're going through this versus having an app and submitting and going through the process is going to be a game changer. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And we're looking for IT partners who can help us to create beta version, because we already have such an app in Ukraine. So we already know the process, because this app helps to record evidences of abuse. This is very important. It helps to save the evidences in a very secure way on a cloud, that it will not be available for abuser, because abusers tend to check the phones all the time.
Yeah.
It has a double layer of security. So it's a hidden app.
Nice.
So when you actually open it, it looks like a female calendar of a cycle.
I love that.
So there are a few ways to put a double layer of security. You need to know where to push, how long to push to actually go to actual.
I love that.
And for the US, we want to incorporate an option to do first steps to get a restraining order, at least to submit an application without a necessity to go personally to court and wait hours and hours, but at least to initially start from your app, to fill out the forms, maybe to send a report to police. So something that incorporates also legal side of the process of protecting your rights.
That's what I was going to say, that I, you know, my assumption would be that a lot of women wouldn't even know what they need to do, and collecting evidence, like most people probably don't even know. They have to speak to a lawyer and then somebody who can advise them these things. And if your app can kind of walk them through the steps, you are going to help millions of people so easily. And that's a game changer. That's huge. So in order for us to support this huge undertake of this development of the app, you said IT partners, you would like IT partners to help you guys out. How else can we support other than pledging and donating money, obviously?
Engaging opinion leaders is very important, because we're always looking for celebrities, for opinion leaders in different industries. It can be art, sports, politics, can be social advocacy. So business, so somebody who is available and have already enough audience to be heard and spread awareness. This is super important. I think that because it's we opened an office here in 2018 in LA. So it's young. Even we have a background story, right? With White Ribbon existing for 35 years, but it was established in Canada. So we kind of like brand new in the US.
Right.
And the support from prominent people will be really game changer for us for spreading awareness.
Yeah, well, I am so, I'm just touched by everything that you've accomplished, Veronica, and it's sad what you've been going through, but I feel like, you know, with everything else now going in Ukraine, it just more people need to come together and help and speak up and stop the violence, whether it's against women or just against people in general. I feel like, you know, having the putting yourself out there is not easy. And I think you've done an amazing job doing that, you know, putting yourself out there and being the face of this. But I think being beautiful also helps, because now being a beautiful face helps open up doors and people listen. So thank you for willing to do it. I, on behalf of a lot of women out there who might be going through this, again, just remind them of the website where they can get a come and pledge, volunteer. Oh, are you guys looking for volunteers at all, other than?
Yeah, constantly, because we always need support for social media management.
Nice. Okay.
So basically during pandemic, what we face is really lack of online tools that are effective in a situation when you cannot physically go somewhere.
Right.
So we are constantly looking for volunteers and who can help us with spreading awareness, with project management. But basically everything remotely, everything online. And can I ask you, do we have still like few minutes?
We do. We have a couple of more minutes to go. So if you want to share anything else, please do. So.
I do. In regards, I think like I want to dedicate a few moments to the situation in Ukraine.
Yes, please.
So I was a part myself last year of a virtual roundtable discussion about domestic violence situation in Russia. So Russia is first country in the world who decriminalized domestic violence, meaning that the Russian government canceled domestic violence law. So right now, domestic violence is not a criminal act by any law in Russia. And the people's power in every country is the value. So right now what is happening between Russia and Ukraine is happening because one person, Vladimir Putin, has this enormous ambitious to conquer another countries. But Russia is a big country, right? A lot of people living there. How come mothers have to send their sons to Ukraine to fight for one old man ambitions? So I think that it's very important to take a stand on a civic society level in Russia against this criminal called president, because by one person ambitions, millions can die on both sides. So explain me why Russian mothers, Russian wives, Russian daughters or sisters need to send their man to fight for what? To do an invasion for what? Why they need to lose their man, their families? For whom? So people have a right to take a stand against the war, because Russia and Ukraine and Belarus and other countries, Georgia, Armenia, this is all brotherhood countries, right? You are Armenian, you know, we are all connected.
Right.
We often speak the same language, but we respect each other's independency.
Yeah.
And why Russian people need to go in Ukraine by order of one person? So I think the civic society movement right now in Russia and Russian people, Russian celebrities, Russian politicians need to take a stand against it and stop the war and stop the violence.
I agree.
Orchestrated by one person.
Where can
Why my
go?
Mother needs to suffer now? She's in Kiev. She cannot leave the country.
That's awful. That's awful. I hope this whole thing just stops. I feel like it's a bad dream. Where can people go to take a stand, to support, to help?
Right now, I'm literally receiving information online from Russia that a lot of protests are being organized in Moscow and St. Petersburg, the two major cities that they can be game changer. So I just would love to be connected to someone in Russia who have the nonprofits or who can be leaders of civic society movements to take a stand right now, because it's the president who was elected by Russian people, by Russian nation, but they have a right to change this government, this presidency. It's not even about the government. It's one person show.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's so unfortunate. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that. I know it's such a difficult time right now going through it. And as we're sitting here, it's probably, I don't even want to watch the news right now, but thank you for bringing that up. And I wish I had you for a longer time. I would love to bring you back again, maybe just to have a discussion on what's happening with Ukraine and Russia. I would love to allocate more time to this and maybe figure out how people can take a stand and help and support, because we live in a more advanced society. We should not be going through this where we let one person decide who lives and who doesn't. And like you said, millions of people do not need to die for an ambition of one person.
No, all my friends, and I have friends who are in military divisions, and said that Russian troops, Russian people who are coming, they're not motivated to be there. They do not want to be there.
I know.
They were sent by an order of their military commanders, and this is their job. But they do not want to interfere, because Russian and Ukrainian nations so connected. We have a lot of relatives on both sides. So they don't feel motivated to be here.
No, yeah. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Veronica. Again, if you can mention where people can get a hold of you, donate, support your nonprofit, just so they can, again, connect with you, that would be amazing.
Please go online to whiteribbonusa.org, or you can find us on Instagram, whiteribbonusa. And you can easily get a hold of me. I read mostly major amount of emails myself. So all contact info on our website and Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you again. Thank you. It's been a pleasure having you. I hope to have you back again. And hopefully we'll talk about good things and how Ukraine is free of all this, and you know, hopefully we'll be on a positive note. But this has been a great learning experience for me personally, and I'm so happy to be supporting your organization and you. Thank you
so much, Maria. I super appreciate your time and efforts and doing everything you can to support another woman. It's just so important.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.